just from the beginning of the year, we always ask for blessings in a new year and a new start, and we're just overwhelmed with His goodness.
Hallelujah! He's an
and
awesome God.
Just blessing us.
Yes.
And the big thing that we think about is being able to bless others.
That's right. That's
and
it.
that's what it's all about, is being blessed and then blessing others and just paying it forward and having that peace, and not just finances but spiritually and health. And lately I've just seen the goodness of God work in my body.
Jesus, hallelujah.
And I've just been very blessed and very grateful. And this morning I was thinking, I said, devil, you just try to keep me away from my church family today. I'm not going to have it.
That's right.
Get behind me. And I just give Him all the glory for it. And that Mark and I both just very, very grateful and blessed.
Praise God. Awesome. Awesome glory testimony.
Well, I didn't start out with a whole lot, but I ended up with more than I started with.
Praise God.
But Kenneth Copeland's daily devotional today. Scripture was 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And he pointed out how people think about that. A lot of people that haven't been taught the Word of God in faith see that and they say, "But yeah, that's talking about your soul." They're thinking about being good spiritually or something. Well, that's part of it. But your soul, we find out on Wednesday night, is your intellect, your emotions, and your will. That's really what's going on in your mind.
That's right.
And until we can get the idea that God wants us to prosper in our mind, mm-hmm. you're never going to get there.
That's right. Amen.
Once you do, the devil or nobody can stop you
That's
from
right.
giving
Amen.
And believing for it. And Kenneth Copeland pointed out how Joseph, when he went to Egypt, he didn't have a nickel in his pocket probably because he went and he was a slave. And even as a slave, he wound up being second man in all of Egypt because he had a vision and he had prosperity in his mind no matter what my circumstances are.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That's a word for somebody. That's a word right there for somebody. See, God's word is alive.
Yes.
It's alive. Amen. I think you heard David say something. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging for bread. See, that's just God's word just being amplified through His church. Comes through us, says a little bit different, but it says the same thing. Amen? Any other testimonies, what God's done, what He's doing? Well, what He's going to do. See, if you want a testimony, you got to say something, what you believe in God to do. That's where your testimony comes from. Is say something. Put God out there. Put Him out there. Amen? The fruit ain't on the trunk of the tree. It's out there on the limb. If you want to get to the fruit, you got to get out there on the limb, right? That's where the fruit is. It's out there on the limb. God's able to do some great things. Today's message, 2 words. Forward march. Forward march. You know, this is the month of March, and, you know, usually Reed and Tammy, they're on vacation up in Gatlinburg, so he did the first Sunday of the month. He usually does the last Sunday, but 2 or 3 months ago, God gave me this title, and I was just thinking about the month of March, and He said, forward march. I said, that sounds a whole lot better than just march. Forward march, not backward march, forward march. I was thinking about this. I don't know if I was sleeping when I woke up this morning, you know, about witnessing and testifying, and I was thinking about Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said.
Yes.
Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. The other ones are dead. That's, if you're looking for anybody but Jesus, you're in a dead religion. See, because Muhammad, he can't save you. He's dead. But Jesus is alive. Because what I understood, they put their faith in another religion and they're dead. Spiritually separated from God. That's what dead means. They're alive, but it's not with God. They're separated from God. Jesus is the only way. He's not the way. He's the only way to the Father. No man shall come to the Father except through Jesus. That's our forward march. Is marching on with Jesus. We're going to go to. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 14. This is a familiar story. A great story in the Old Testament. Moses was the pastor of about at least 1-2 million people. And it was a quick congregation. I mean, he went from zero to 1.2 million people, you might as well say overnight. Because when they left Egypt, they said, take everything and get out of here quickly. When God says go, go. Forward march. That means do something. Get out from where you are. But I want to quickly, and I say quickly, I want to read through here. Chapter 14, verse 1. You don't have to put this on the board because I'm going to read pretty fast through here. You got your Bible, turn with us. If not, just listen. But the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pahareth, between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am, say I am, Jehovah, I am Jehovah. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let this people Israel go? Verse 6. So Pharaoh made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Verse 9, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pahareth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians, look at this word, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, Lewis, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Good place to cry out to. When you're in fear, cry to the Lord. That's what you said. And they said to Moses, pastor, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? To bring us out here to put us in the grave? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not. Stand still. Can anybody see Charlton Heston saying this right now? He played Moses pretty good, didn't he? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Say today. Today is the day of salvation. I get talking, I pull my eyes off of the page here. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and Patsy, and you shall hold your peace. Peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel, go forward. Forward march. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God, you believe in angels? Amen. They're real. They're more real than what we can see in this room. They're more real than that bench right there. Yes. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel, he moved. He moved. Where did he move to? He moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. We never, as a Christian, we don't have no guard for our rear. All of our armor is for the frontward, a forward attack. That's why, because God's got you back, amen? You don't need to look backward. He's back there. He moved behind. He said go forward. That means don't look behind. So it came between the angel of the Lord, the pillar of cloud, came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. I was going to try not to preach this as I went through, but I don't know if I can make it or not. But I'll deduct this from my notes. How's that? Because I'd rather give it to you as God's given it to me. So it came between that pillar of cloud by fire, went behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. The church is supposed to be different than the world. Amen? We're different. It was a cloud of darkness to the one, talking about to Egyptians, verse 20, and it gave light by night. Somebody can make a song about that. Lord, you are my light by night. Light by night. To the other camp, so that one did not come near the other all night. There's a difference between the church and the world. We're supposed to be separated unto God for good works and not to mingle ourselves with the world. See, we have mingled ourselves. It's called a blood covenant. We have mingled our blood with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is, we are entangled in Him. And we are separated from the world. And all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is no more part of us because Christ has made me free. He has separated us from light, from darkness. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. Red Sea. Get a picture of that. Mighty waters. When you go to the ocean, you see all that water out there? See the waves? Picture yourself with the rod of God in your hands. People, 2 million people behind you needing somewhere to go. And they got to go to the other side. And there's water before you. But God says, you're going forward. He says, stretch it out over the sea. And Moses stretched it out. And the Lord, not Moses, but the Lord caused. But he had to stretch it out. He had to, that's your arm, that's your authority. Your hand, what you have in your hand represents your authority. He stretched it out. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. You think you've had some wind out here before? This wind blew the seas back. But God, he went, and he parted the Red Sea. All night he did this. See, we think about the miracle, we think about, man, boom, and they walked. This happened all 24 hours, all night. This heap of waters is being held up, and God is drying all this mud into dry land. You didn't even have to get your shoes dirty, Wanda. You're going through the Red Sea, and your shoes ain't even going to get muddy, because this is a God that we serve. It's the same God in the Old Testament, in the New, same God. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them, verse 23, into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar. He's looking through his covenant. He's looking through his word. He's looking through his word. He's looking through his word. He's looking through his promises and through the words that were spoken by faith. Say, spoken by faith. Uh-huh. And it came to pass as he looked through down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. This is how God would take care of them. Back then, that was a chariot and a horse. You know, now we got jets, planes, ships. But what he did, he came down and he troubled the army. He took off the wheels off their chariots. Took off their wheels. By wind, by however he did it. Just took them off. So that it drove with difficulty. Yeah, you got two wheels, you don't have two, and you got a horse, that's pretty bumpy. They're still going. They won't give up. Took the wheels off. And the Egyptians said, finally, let us flee from the face of Israel. Do you think? You think it's time to flee? Man, you've seen all these things. And you're in the midst of all this great miracle. And now they're saying, I think it's time we need to go back. Retreat, they're saying, retreat. No, Pharaoh says, stay the course. See, his heart's been hardened. Why is his heart hardened? Because he's been rejecting the Spirit of God. He's been rejecting the Word of God. He's rejected Moses for all those plagues and his heart. Every time, hard heart. Hard heart. He can't hear. He can't think right, Jim. He can't think right. Because he's not God's beloved. He's his enemy. You don't want to fight against God. That's a bad place to be. They get you stuck in the mud. You lose your wheels off your car. And we see what else is coming. He took off the chairs. And then verse 26, and the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand. See, God works with us. He's working with Moses. He told Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the waters, and they may come back upon the Egyptians, on the chariots and on the horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them. What was a wall to them was death to their enemies. See, God sets a distinction between his people. We have a covenant with God Almighty. He's for you. He's never against you. Amen. He's always for you. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Now, I'm not sure active duty what our men and women seen out there on the field. I think about Germany, that great shore. What was that coming in on the beach of Normandy? Man, I've seen movies. You could just imagine the bodies. This is what we're seeing back here. I mean, I don't know how many. That's a lot of chariots, a lot of horses. 200-300 chariots and horses. Probably two men on maybe one. You know, it's a lot of people. Bodies washed up on the seashore. But they had a choice. God said a long time ago, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. Pharaoh chose to harden his heart to the things of God. He grew up with Moses. They grew up together. They knew each other. Pharaoh knew Moses' heart. He knew he had a heart of, he was a man of integrity. The Bible says Moses was the meekest man on the earth. But he chose that. See, Pharaoh, that's a good contrast between being humble and being full of pride. Pride will take you on a ride you don't want to go. It took him to death. That was a leader. See, Pharaoh was the leader of an army. And if you're being led by the flesh or by the pride, it's going to get your men killed. Amen? So we got to, who's our great shepherd? Jesus. He's the captain of the host. Amen? Now I'm going to go back through Exodus here, just some notes, just some good food for thought. I think that was just a little preaching into the introduction into that great battle. And like I say, don't rely on Hollywood to paint your picture. Get into the Word of God and read it and let that paint your picture. Because, I mean, Hollywood, they do good, but they don't do it like Jesus does it, like the Word. Amen? This Word doesn't take anything out or add anything in. It tells you exactly what happened. Exodus 14:1, Moses had already heard from the Lord. That's how the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt. But we have to continue to listen to the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, not by having heard, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Hearing when you come to church, hearing when you leave church. What are you hearing after you leave church? You want to hear the Word on the inside of you. I want to hear it again, Lord. I want to hear it again. I want to hear it again. Repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. And then you'll hear the Rhema word, forward march. In that situation, they came to the Red Sea. Moses had been talking a lot to God. God said, you go stretch out your rod, the water's going to turn to blood. Well, this time he said, forward march. He didn't tell him. He says, I'm going to save you by a mighty hand. By a mighty hand. They came out of Egypt, but now they needed God's direction to lead them into the promised land. Likewise, we need to listen and to receive God's guidance continuously. There's going to be times that's what you have a compass for. There's going to be times when if you're in the military and you're a Navy man, you can't see nothing but water. And it might be cloudy. You can't see the stars. So you got your compass. You got your directional guide. Today we have GPSs. Smartphones. If you don't have a smartphone, you got a dumb phone. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I got a smartphone. I'm not going to tell you the brand. But what happens if that goes out? Your battery, you forgot to charge your phone. You was down to 1%. You thought it said 100%. Uh-oh. Lost your GPS. Well, there's something on the inside of you. He's called your guider, your comforter. He's your guide. He's called the Holy Ghost. Yes. He will guide you, and he will steer you through the storms of life. Amen? And you got to learn his voice. You got to spend time with him. You got to spend time in his word and build a relationship with him, and he will reveal secrets to you. He will show you things to come. That's what Moses was doing. He was hearing the voice of God, hearing God speak to him. It's called the anointing was upon him. The anointed, he was anointed to hear. But I remember Moses, he camped on a mountain for about 40 nights, spent some time with God. Went up on the mountain. That wasn't an easy hike. You ever done some hiking in the mountains? Moses went up there and didn't eat for 40 days. Boy, I could use a 40-day mountain trip. Help me on my belly there. Fast and spend some presence and time before the face of God. God was imparting into him things he was going to do. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is strength. In his presence, we get direction. We get guidance. We get counsel. Yes. Patsy could tell you this. There's nothing that can replace his presence. Nothing. His presence. And you don't have to wait to get to church to get in his presence. You can get in his presence ordering your Bojangles biscuit in the drive-thru line in his presence. He'll speak to you. He'll say, pay for the car behind you. Whatever God tells you to do. Amen. Note on Exodus 14:7. It says, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. There was more than enough power to defeat the Israelites in the natural. But the Israelites were not going to fight in just the natural. They had a supernatural power of God working on their behalf. Just as we do. If we depend on that supernatural power, then no natural power can stand against us. Can't no foe stand against us. Amen. No foe. No foe. That's bad English there, ain't it? No foe. That's just Southern English. That's as far as you can go. No more. Exodus 14, verse 8. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. The only logical explanation for why people pursue things to their own destruction is that just like Pharaoh, our hearts are hard. And when your heart gets hard, you can't hear from God, and you'll do things in the midst that's stupid. All the circumstances will say, no, no, no. And you'll be saying, yeah, 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 I can. Yeah, 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 I can. And all the time God's saying, no, 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 you can't. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do no thing. But that's not the end. But with him, help me preach this, we can do all things. So do you want to do no thing or you want to do all things? I set before you, no things or all things, life and death, blessing, cursing. Choose. I want to do all things for you, Lord. All things that you've called me to do. Don't look at what Jim's doing, what Lewis is doing, what Cindy's doing. No, God, what have you called me to do? I want to look at what you've called me to do. Thank God for the people he puts in our paths. But Lord, it's me, oh Lord. What would you have me to do? Your purpose. See, then you got to make your purpose that single purpose God's called you to do. It might be a Joshua stand beside Moses until the next phase. Until Moses said, okay, Joshua, it's your turn. He said, it's your turn, buddy. I've been out here speaking to rocks. Manna coming down from heaven. I've been out here hearing all this murmuring, bickering, complaining. Now it's your turn. Your turn to be pastor. But Joshua said, yes, sir. He stood attention. Didn't pay no attention to what the people were saying, but gave attention to what the Word was saying, what Moses had been saying all those years. If you want what your pastor has, you better be where he is. Right? Stay where he's at. Stay where you're supposed to be. And that same anointing that's upon him will come upon you. Amen? And that can go for any, when you partner with other ministries, that becomes a part of you. Partners. Partners. I get a part of that. A part of this. And what does that do? It's making me a bigger man for God. Man, I got a teaching partner. I got a preaching partner, an evangelist out here talking about the fivefold ministry gifts. I got a prophetic partner. Man, that makes me an effective witness for the body of Christ. I like that. The more parts you have, the more effective you are. Right? If I ain't got but one arm, I'm not as effective as if I got... What if I'm a southpaw, Lewis? I got to turn around. See, right, left. So I'm a southpaw, but I've lost my left hook. What am I going to do? Lord, strengthen my right arm. Lord, teach me how to hit with my right arm. See, don't matter what you lose, but what you got left, go ahead and dedicate it to the Lord. If you don't have something, just go ahead and dedicate what you do have. And he'll resurrect it. Amen? He'll resurrect what you do have. That's just food for thought. I believe that came through God, from God through me, maybe however he uses me. Amen. Verse 14, verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. There's no indication that Moses had told the people what God had told him about seeing that trap, setting the trap that would destroy all the Egyptians. It's probable that they would not have listened. That pastor, are you sure we're supposed to go out here and march around the building 7 times and don't say nothing, just march? Talking about the walls of Jericho. See, what God says, dude, don't sound right sometimes. But is it what God is saying? What's your pastor saying? Well, just do it. If it comes to pass, your pastor heard from God. If not, you need to pray for him. Let him hear right next time, right? Don't throw him out. Don't kick him out the door. How many times have you heard and not listened? A bunch of times I have. And then you say, man, I should have listened. Something on the inside was telling me that was God. Something that was telling me, it wasn't a little bird. You know, the dove came down as a bird. But that's called the anointing, the unction. It's probable they wouldn't have listened. If they would have had advance notice, it would only have served to terrify them and give them time to think of some kind of rebellion. See, because you don't want to get advice from just any counselor. You want godly wisdom. So see, Moses couldn't, he could count on probably a few, Joshua, the few elite partners that he had, but he just kept it to himself. How many times have you put your pearls before the swine? God's told you something. You get out here and like, you know what God's told me to do? And they look at you like, what field did you come out of? Left field, center field, or what field? Because see, they don't have the vision. They don't have the heart maybe that you have for God, and they can't understand it. And they just hit you with doubt and unbelief, and it knocks you down. Well, you maybe shouldn't have said anything to them to begin with. You just keep that before the Lord. And say what he tells you to say when he tells you to say it. And then you'll have the manifestation of it. You don't need more persecution. Persecution's coming. Yeah. I've heard Jesse saying, Percy ain't cute. Persecution's not cute. You don't need no more than what's coming at you. You need to fill yourself up with the Word of God, with God's wisdom. Because what God's wisdom says, man can't understand if you don't have a heart for God. You got to have a heart for God, heart for the things of God. Exodus, let's look in verse 13. Moses said to the people, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. This sounds good on the surface. It has some elements of truth in it. the Lord was going to fight for them and the Egyptians would be destroyed, but overall it was incorrect. Moses told the people to stand still. What had God said? The Lord told Moses, have the people move forward, Moses, forward, toward the Red Sea. There's a time to pray and there's a time to act. See, your prayer time, your fellowship time with God is spending, building your relationship up. You're getting the wisdom, you're getting the counsel, and then God says, okay. James says, do it. It was time to go forward. And when God says go, go. Don't think about it. Don't hesitate. Just do what he's called you to do when he says to do it. And the anointing and the power is there to be released, just waiting for you to do it. Solomon said it the best in Ecclesiastes. There's a time for every time and place under the sun. There's a time and a season for everything. Amen? Remember Moses' encounter with the Lord at the burning bush? The Lord had Moses throw his rod on the ground and it turned into a snake. And he commanded Moses, take it up by the tail. The snake turned back into a rod, but it wasn't Moses' rod any longer. Exodus 4:20 calls it the rod of God. I've always wanted a hot rod. I had a hot rod. I had a 67 GTO at one time. It was pretty hot. I had a hot girlfriend too. I'll call my wife. She was hot back then. She's still hot. So I guess I did have a hot rod, but I transferred over to the minivans, you know, and the Suburbans and the minivans. You have one kid, two kids, three kids. The hot rod don't get good gas mileage anymore. But I want another hot rod. But until then, I got one. We got the rod of God. We got his word that can produce anything according to his will in our life. Amen. God doesn't have a problem having hot rods. As long as he's in the seat with you. He's in that rod with you. And you take that rod and you go out there and you move you command the waters to part. You command the sickness to flee. You command the dead to rise in your hot rod. Doing all this in your hot rod's okay. Amen. Would Jesus drive what's one of them big old fancy cars? Come on, let's go way out there. What? Ferrari, Lamborghini. Would Jesus, huh? Rolls Royce. Well, why wouldn't he? I mean, he put it in the mind of man to create it. Okay, without God's wisdom, you couldn't create that. You couldn't get a vision of that. Where'd they get that from? God. But God wants you to take that. He might want you to give it to somebody and make sure they can, if they can't afford the insurance, make sure you can give them the money to afford the insurance too, because God's not going to give you something you can't handle. God gave Moses authority, his authority. He didn't give it to him because he couldn't handle it. Amen? Come on. He spent some time with God. He earned that place of authority. So when that time comes, we've earned that place through Christ Jesus. That place of authority. We still get underneath and we get in the word. But see, in the latter days, the Bible says, God's got to do a quicker work. There's going to be the young people in our generations, they're going to get a hold of this word quicker. They're not going to be, in other words, it's wartime. It's wartime. And when a young man gets drafted and he goes through, help me guys, boot camp, and then he's got to go straight to war. He doesn't have time to come into church and, you know, air condition and feed on the word. No, there's how would you call it when you're not in war? There's peace time and then there's war time. Or to a Christian, it's always war time. The battle's always raging. But the war has been won. See, we've got the victory. Lewis said we've got the victory. But we have to enforce that victory every day. As pastors, as leaders, as husbands, as wives, leaders at work. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I totally lost my place on that one. Thank you, Lord. The The rod of God. We was at that hot rod, wasn't we? It's in the hot seat. It's in that hot rod. God gave his power to Moses, and it symbolized that rod. The Lord also told Moses that he made him to be God to Pharaoh. See, God has put us in places out there that we are the only Jesus that anybody's ever going to see. He's entrusted us his word, and he wants us to go out to those people and separate them from darkness into light, from the kingdom of darkness into light. And the only way they're going to do that, the only way we're going to do that, is they've got to see there's hope out here. There's victory out here. There's life out here. Not in Egypt, it's in the promised land. Egypt is the world. The promised land is the body of Christ. It's the believer's life. Amen? God's called us to a higher purpose, to a higher place. And I've heard Brother Keith Moore teach on this. And I think youth needs to hear this. And we all need to hear it. You know, God doesn't have a... We all on the inside of us want to be high. In other words, the Bible talks about don't fill yourself with wine when there's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The whole world... When I was in the world without Christ, I was looking for something to numb me from persecution, from fears, from all this stuff. I'd hit the bottle. I'd hit the marijuana, the, what do you call that stuff? Marijuana? Dope? You know, I didn't do some of the hard stuff, but I mean, you want to calculate sins, big sins, little sins. You got big liquor, little liquors. Dope, it don't matter. You're just separated from God. But I wanted something, and when you got it, you felt good. I mean, you were high. You were out of this world to say, well, to a Christian, we can have that same high. When we come into the body of Christ, we need to let those that are out there, you know, hey, dude, you know, they're out there on the street. You know, if I got something, yeah, you need to introduce them to Jesus. Man, I got some wine. You ever tried this wine? And introduce them to the Holy Ghost and say, Jesus, fill them. And they will walk away from that if they receive Jesus. I mean, that's a high. I get high on the Holy Ghost. And I don't have a hangover. And I got my smarts left. I got my smarts left. Amen? See, the Holy Ghost makes me smarter. But there is a high that we all seek. It's called the Most High. The Most High God. You want to get high? You still can get high. I haven't lost anything from the world. Man, I gained it all when I got born again. Thank you, Jesus. Man, my health's got better. My finances got better. My marriage has got better. There's some things that's still in progress. Amen. Anybody got some things that's still in progress? Well, that means you're in faith. If you're believing, you know, faith is believing something hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I still got some kids going through college. I'm still got my hope, my anchor set out there for great things for them. And I still like my hot rod and my motorcycle that I enjoy riding. Wait a minute. I said my motorcycle. I didn't say the one I'm believing for and waiting for. I said my motorcycle. I think it's a lot quicker than where it's been. I changed my confession. I got it. That needs to be the whole confession to begin with. What you give to God comes back to you. There's a verse out there in the Old Testament that says, cast your bread on the waters. Yes. Cast your bread on the waters. And it's coming back to you. What you give, God's going to bring it back. Better than what you gave. Yes. If you trust him and wait on it. You got to wait on it. You got to put something in the oven. You got to wait till it's done, right? I gave him a Honda. Hakimbla. I speak in tongues on it. I sold him a Honda 750. It's coming back. I need a little bit bigger one, Mark. I put a few pounds on since I need about a 12. What, at least give me a number there. I need at least a 1,000, 1,100. I've done graduated that 750 status. I need a little bit bigger. So I'm waiting. It's coming in. What do you need from God? What do you need from God? It might be out there in the Red Sea. Well, it's probably on the other side of the Red Sea. You've got an obstacle in front of you. But you got the rod of God. You got the power. You got the authority on the inside of you to speak life. In closing, verse 20, think about this. Get this picture. There were two mountains on each side of the Red Sea behind the Israelites. The huge pillar of cloud filled the valley and blocked the path of the Egyptians. As night fell, the cloud turned into a fire. The light from this huge pillar of fire, which blocked the whole valley, gave light to the Israelites, but darkness to the Egyptians. That's called the blessing and the curse. See, the backside of the blessing is curse. But darkness to the Egyptians. It's possible that the cloud remained on the Egyptian side, thereby blocking the light. But there's no doubt that the Egyptians could not tell that this fire was providing light to the Israelites. They could tell, they could see. I remember Abraham. Remember the poor beggar that died and went to Abraham's bosom? And it said the rich man died. And it said he was down there, and there was a straight fixed before him. He could see Abraham. He could see that beggar at Abraham's bosom. And he was comforted, and he was in torment. See, he could see through the fire. He could see through the fire, but he couldn't get there. Why? All his life, he hardened his heart to the things of God. All his life. He wouldn't help a poor man. God says, help somebody, help them. Don't look for them to return that favor. God is your reward. You look through the fire of sin. You look through the fire of all the poor, the ugliness that life has brought on to me. You look through the fire. You look through the fire like Jesus did, and you do something for him. And you watch God work in your life. Because that's the heart of God. He looked through that fire. Amen? And he saw his people free. I was going to say that's the end of it, but hey, God looked through the fire, and he saw his people free. Free from Pharaoh. Free from the bondage. Yes, for a lot of years there, but no matter how bad it was, there's something better on the other side. With God on your side, there's something better. In closing, I still had a little bit left. Our New Testament marching orders, and that's found in the book of Matthew, the Great Commission. Jesus came and spoke to them, says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore. Teach all nations. Some of you guys are called to teach.
And baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, Jesus said. And lo, here's a great promise. I am the great I am, Jesus, Jehovah, Yahweh. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen.